So this is a pretty big day for our podcast because it's the first time in a long ass time that we're in the same room. We're not having to do online recording stuff.
1.5 years.
And yet while we were doing that, we somehow hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube and we got our channel monetized and we've made upwards of $20 so far. Not bad. So we've been watching a lot of more modern shows lately. But I got an old school one for you today. I got a classic, and I'll tell you why I chose this one. But what comes to mind for you when I say the words, Father Knows Best?
Oh, my God. Father Knows Best. 3 children. I don't know where the mother is in that. I'm pretty sure there isn't a mother. There's the father and 2 daughters and a son. And father is raising them. I believe. If there's a mother, I don't know who she is. I don't remember seeing her.
And I assume he, by knowing best, does not involve hellacious spankings and corporal punishment.
Oh, no. Of course, these are teen children who will have teen issues. And father always knows best and comes to some resolution at the end. There's probably, I'm going to say the standard plot is children do something that is off the wall. And there is a misunderstanding. Father is probably angry. Children are angry. But in the end, father knows best and resolves the situation, and they all love one another at the end.
Yeah, I feel like it's the kind of thing, if they made that show now, it would be like the dad would be rattled from the war and like, how dare you kids? You don't know what I went through to give you this life that you have, you little bastards. You know, it'd be a darker show
there
probably.
There were lots of shows then in the 50s that were like that, where the father or the parents... It was all very saccharine, and you know, even the main issues that children faced were, I don't know, they're pretty lame. Like, they're not really all that serious. Maybe so-and-so got invited to the prom, and at the last minute, something happened, and the person who asked them went off with somebody else, and there's upset, and that kind of stuff. Everything was very saccharine there. Nobody ever... And you had a lot of shows. You had the Donna Reed Show. You had Father Knows Best. The one where Fred McMurray, he had a couple of kids that he was raising on his own. They all seemed to live in nice houses, that like suburbia-type houses that were all very nice and clean. There were never any fathers who had come back from the war who were suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, mothers who were alcoholics or taking the mother's little helper and laying on the couch all afternoon. There were lots of shows like that, and they never really addressed the issues of the day of people. It wasn't a happy time, necessarily. There were fathers who came home from the war and struggled with post-traumatic stress. God, you never discussed that. And father did always know best at the end. Well, not really, because then you had the 1960s coming along where everybody rebelled and went out and grew their hair long and became hippies because they didn't want to be like mom and dad.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously I was not around at the time, but that seems to be the prevailing view of the 50s now, is that idyllic view of America... It's just very clear that was not real, you know, especially post-war. They just were really putting on a strong face, especially in on the other side of things with homemakers. And like, oh, if only we could go back to that. It's called the trad wife movement now, traditional wife. Of like, I want to go back to that. I want to wear an apron and I want to bake a pie and I want to put it on the windowsill. But it was the only era where women weren't a part of the workplace. It's not like, you know, it was this long-standing thing in the 40s and the 30s and the 20s. Women were always working. It was only in the 50s. There was this brief blip where they tried to pretend that this kind of life worked, and it just doesn't. It doesn't work.
Well, especially in the 1950s, you had all kinds of, I believe, unhappy women. Because while their husbands were off fighting World War II, they did come out of the kitchens, and they worked in the factories, and they were their own women, and they made their own money, and they had their own independence. The war finished. Those jobs had to be given back to men. And so women were relegated back into the domestic home life where you went shopping and you dressed up in your little white gloves and your hat when you went to the supermarket. But I don't think those women ever were really satisfied again, which is why you had the revolution in the 1960s. Because those women in the 1950s didn't like going back to that little... I don't even know how to describe it. It was like it was perfect. the perfect home, the perfect furniture, the perfect car, the perfect house, the perfect kids. Nobody has any of that stuff. But anyway, we're getting away from Father Knows Best.
And of those shows, I mean, I know they're not all bad because I think of some shows really did surprise us. Like Leave It to Beaver, when you go back to it, is actually like a pretty astute little study of, but it's mainly from the kid's side of what it was like to be a kid in that era and stuff. And it was like, you think of it as one of these saccharine shows, but it was actually pretty good. But yeah, my faith is not so strong with Father Knows Best, the little bit that I know of it. I suspect this one's going to be a bit of a cornball fest. Ah, shucks, Pa, I was sweet on her. She took Johnny Unitas to the to the square, the sock hop.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
So why this came up is a lot of stuff that you already said is just kind of be mirrored here, is my friend Ken, who I hadn't seen since before COVID times. I was back in Toronto, so I went to visit him, and he's from your also approximate era. And he used to do a podcast called Dicks and Janes because that was kind of the idea. Is when he was a kid, it was that Dick and Jane world you grow up in. If, you know, everything is just so and everything seems so proper. And then, you know, the 60s came and he started reading like the Beats and stuff and, you know, blew his hair back. And he's like, all of that is bullshit. We don't need that. So I was talking to him about just stuff he did when he was younger. Because like for me, for example, going to Japan, it's like I got a phone where I can translate stuff. I got Airbnb apps. I've got my little bank card. Like, it couldn't be easier. But he not only went to Japan way back in the day before any of that stuff, he went to Africa before that. Like, he just went and did some wild stuff that I would never have the bravery for. But he was telling me that before that, he said he was actually like, he was quite a reserved kid, you know, like he really did have to push himself out of his comfort zone to go do all that stuff. And he brought up as one of the examples of like this idea of the idyllic North America that he thought he was supposed to live in, this little box. One of the examples he brought up is, you know, like Father Knows Best. And it just like little ding went off in my head of like, how come we've never watched that show? You know? So I'm basically, that's why I brought that show this week, is because Ken was mentioning it as basically as bullshit, as like, yeah, as one of those things I watched as a kid that I had to deprogram my brain to that silly view of the world. And then I was a little worried we wouldn't be able to watch it because I couldn't find it. I just couldn't get my hands on an episode of Father Knows Best. But I was overthinking it because they still sell this show. You know, they still want you to go buy the DVDs. So in order to advertise the DVDs, the first episode is just on YouTube. So anybody that wants to watch it, it's actually so easy to find that it made it harder for me. I didn't realize all I had to do was go to YouTube. So yeah, if you don't want to hear us yammer about it, if you just want to watch the actual show, the first episode is on YouTube. So yeah, we're just going to watch the first episode of Father Knows Best, and that's why, in tribute to Ken and breaking away from that whole world.
Good for you, Ken.
Yeah. And I've got just some little, not a lot of details about this show either, because you never know when you research stuff. Maybe there'll be some fascinating detail. Maybe there won't be. And I guess maybe because this show's so milquetoast, yeah, not much to it. It was a radio show, then it was a TV show, everybody loved it, the end. But I'll give you the details that I do have.
Was the mother in the... Maybe there was a mother. Jane Wyman?
Oh, Jane Wyatt.
Jane Wyatt?
That's a name I'm seeing here, so maybe, unless that's... I mean, we'll see, I guess. But all right, Father Knows Best is an American sitcom starring Robert Young, Jane Wyatt, Eleanor Donahue, Billy Gray, and Lauren Chapin. Do you recognize any of those names?
Yes, they're all... Those are the three kids, and Jane Wyatt is the mother. There is a mother in it.
But she's so... She doesn't know best. You don't even remember she was in the show. The series, which began on radio in 1949, aired as a television show for 6 seasons, 203 episodes, from 1954 to 1960. Father Knows Best follows the lives of the Andersons, a middle-class family living in the town of Springfield. The state in which Springfield is located is never specified, but it's generally accepted to be in the Midwestern United States.
Isn't that where the Simpsons live?
Yeah, there's no way that's a coincidence. They definitely, like, I didn't know that, but that has to be why they live in a mysterious Springfield. Maybe it's the same one. Yeah. Father Knows Best had become so ingrained in American pop culture as an idyllic presentation of family life that in 1959, the U.S. Department of the Treasury commissioned a special 30-minute episode of the show. titled 24 Hours in Tyrant Land, never aired on television. The episode, distributed to schools, churches, and civic groups, promoted the purchase of savings bonds, and then you could later get it on DVD. So yeah, that's like it was. It is like, again, like I was saying, what we thought Leave It to Beaver was, that's what this show actually is.
I don't want to bring President Trump into this, but when he talks about making America great again, I've often wondered, does he mean the 50s? Right. And does he mean making it like this, like a show like this is going to be?
Yeah, because I mean, well, George Bush Sr., one of his famous quotes was, "We want American families to be more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons." So yeah, I mean, slightly different examples, but the same. Yeah, just always that corny old call to the past, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that that gets you elected, but people seem to like to hear it once you've been elected. Young left the series in 1960 at the height of the show's popularity to work on other projects, but reruns continued to air in prime time for another 3 years on various networks. Following that, reruns were shown, and then they did a reunion film in 1977. So, the one interesting factoid I did find about this, just tell me when you realize what this is about. On November 22nd, 1963.
Okay, the death of President Kennedy.
Yeah, I knew you'd get it right away. It's like if someone said to me, like, the episode that aired on September 11th, 2001, like, uh-oh.
Okay.
At 1:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, during a rerun of the third season episode Man About Town on several ABC affiliates, ABC News broke into the program with the first bulletin of the news of the assassination of President Kennedy in Dallas, Texas.
Now, Father, in Father Knows Best, left in 1960. I don't know when he went on to become Marcus Welby, M.D.
I've never heard that name.
That's another TV show. And he was Marcus Welby, M.D.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess he was just tired of knowing best. He wants to move on up, even just as an actor. Like, I want to act as a guy with a better career.
Yeah, so he moved into the doctor world.
Nice. So yeah, I could only find, like I said, that first episode, but luckily the first episode is easy to find, so we're only going to watch one, just the very first one. And I do believe, from the little YouTube description I saw, it is something along the lines of Little Jimmy and the school dance and yada yada, so we'll see.
All right. And now that I've mentioned Marcus Welby, MD, I want you to put that in your little list.
Fair enough.
Following up for what happened to Father Knows Best.
Sure.
He knew best and moved on to the medical world.
Yeah, and I mean, that probably is true, that, you know, how long can these things run? 6 years is a good run. He probably knew when to get out and get out while the getting's good. Plus, I mean, yeah, how many episodes do you need to make when you can just have them rerun forever? You know, 200 episodes, that's plenty. Like, what is there even left to know best about after 200 episodes? It's like...
Robert Young and Jane White with Eleanor Donahue, Billy Gray, and Lauren Chapin in Father Knows Best.
We missed you, Dunadia. Sorry you had to work so late.
It seemed like everybody in Springfield had insurance problems today. Where are the children?
Kathy's next door. Betty's at a sorority meeting and Bud's upstairs.
Quiet evening at home.
So did that bring back memories of a greater era?
It's a memory I would rather forget.
Like, I bring up Leave It to Beaver a lot because that one really did surprise me. Like, it's not what I thought it was. It was like a much more well-considered show. Where this is exactly like that stereotype you get in your mind of like Smallville, that type, or not Smallville, Pleasantville, you know, that kind of a vibe. It's just exactly what this show is.
Like, and as you said, here's the big issue. Oh my God, I can't dance. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, atomic war, the bombs are out there. The Cold War is at its height or just building up. Supersonic jets are breaking the sound barriers. And here, the biggest issue that father has to resolve and be best at is teaching his son and the girl that he's going to the dance with how to dance.
And yeah, the artificiality is out of this world. Like, I mean, because it's very obvious that The Simpsons, the whole vibe of The Simpsons is that 50s vibe, you know, the way that they dress and the way their house looks and everything, because this was the kind of stuff they watched as kids. And then they made The Simpsons in the 80s and the 90s, because like, that's one of the things that stood out to me is the first scene is Bud, the son, is upstairs clomping around because he's trying to teach himself how to dance. And the dad is sitting on the couch having a stilted conversation with his wife, who I can see why you forgot her. She's like she's from a different show. She even has the news at 11, transatlantic accent. You know, she doesn't even talk like them. But he's like, what is that noise upstairs? And when he's finally had enough of the noise, you know, he puts his paper away. But he goes off like, oh, I don't know, like bemused. And the wife is like, got a little smile, like, oh, this is going to be fine. When the real version of that situation would have been, what the fuck are you doing? I'm going to punch you in the face. So I think that's why like shows like Roseanne, you know, the parents yelled at the kids, and shows like The Simpsons, Homer strangles Bart, because that's what he would be like. He wouldn't be like this.
He wouldn't be, yes, like, I understand. And I'm going over to talk to the girl's grandmother to find out what's really going on.
Yeah. Like,
oh, he's just so understanding.
The one that killed me, though, is the older daughter. Because everybody, you know, is acting in a stilted way, but you could tell they're actors that are acting that way. You know, they're not bad actors, they're just playing shallow characters. But the older sister, why'd they hire her? She's way over the top. She is a bad actress. She was awful. She was like as artificial as they are. She was double. And it's just like, oh, please stop talking.
But even the littlest girl, oh, she's just in there because she's so cute. She's just so sweet.
Is she though? This is this is unfair of me, but I'm like, I don't even think they did hire her just because she's a cute little kid. She's a super bang average looking little kid. I don't know. I mean, I guess she was all right at her job, but yeah, I don't know. That's a weird one because it's like, I was thinking like maybe Robert Young moved on from that show because he was just tired of it. Can you imagine 200 episodes of that pablum, like having to do that? It's like, surely we're done here. We've done.
Be so understanding. I mean, the man has worked all day at an insurance job. He's not even like a mechanic or anything like that, but he works in insurance. But he's worked all day. He comes home. He's sitting there with the newspaper. And his wife is so sweet and understanding. His son is making all this racket upstairs. He'd be saying, cripes, I worked all goddamn day. I just want to have a little peace and quiet. I just want to sit here and read my newspaper. I don't want to be dealing with these freaking kids and their stupid freaking problems. But no, he understands.
But not only that, he certainly does not need to be getting his nose into all of this. He like takes it upon himself to become dance coordinator to teach his son how to dance in secret. Like, don't let the son know that you know that he doesn't know how to dance. Then he sneaks away to go see the girl that his son invited to the dance, but not because he wanted to help. This is double meddling, where he was under the impression that she was the town firebrand. She grew up in Europe, and like they never say it, but it's like, I don't know, I feel like maybe she went to make out point with a couple too many people. So he goes to her house to meddle with his son's affairs, but then it turns out she's just a nice young lady too. Her biggest problem is that bangs aren't in fashion yet, so she's a giant forehead. Everybody had weird hair in this. Like, you know, what did you say it was that he had in his hair, the son?
Brill cream.
Yeah.
His hair greased back.
Yeah, and everybody's got weird little, yeah, like just like a little helmet head. But yeah, then, you know, it turns out everything is so milquetoast in this town that this...
But he's supposed to look like a young rebel, because one thing I did, even though he's got the Brill cream hair, if you notice his t-shirt, the sleeves had that little roll in them. Oh, like yeah.
That's where he's going to put his cigarettes in the next coming years.
Yeah. That he, like Marlon Brando, would have probably just come out with On the Waterfront or Streetcar Named Desire or something, which was his big breakthrough. And he had the build and the t-shirt and the rolled up sleeves. I just noticed that Bud, oh, he's such a rebel. He's got his hair greased back, but he's got that little curve in his sleeve. Ooh, what a rebel.
But yeah, even the everything is so simple in this story that even, yeah, the girl who is probably going to be too much for his son, give his son the runaround. No, she's even nicer than him. She's on the debate team. She's super shy. She needs to learn how to dance. My favorite thing actually about watching these shows really is, because The Simpsons, you know, is what I grew up with, and I'm so obsessed with The Simpsons, is seeing those connections, because it is really clear of like Homer's the the dad who comes home to the family and, you know, Marge is the stay-at-home housemaker with the little pearl necklace. And, like, it's the same exact scenario, just with the 90s thrown in, the late 80s, early 90s of, like, Marge is actually, like, half crazy from, you know, being an isolated, weird housewife. And Homer just wants to get drunk and yell at people. And, you know, and Bart's an actual, like, little asshole. And, yeah, it's just weird to see the version that they templated it on, where you can see, like, where that built up, where all that sarcasm came from. If you had to watch this your whole childhood.
I don't know what else to say about it.
I think we've said plenty.
Oh, my God. terrible memories.
Well, we'll move on to Wilby Wilmington, M.D.
Marcus Wilby, M.D.
We might not do it next week, but yeah, we'll do that one soon to see the other side of Robert Young's career, because that'll be interesting, because I did get the sense, like I was saying, only the older sister seemed like a bad actress. Everyone else seemed fine. They're just stuck in these roles.
Another show, though, that would have come from this era, and I only thought of it the other day because he passed away a couple of weeks ago, is Jay North was Dennis the Menace.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think Dennis's mother and father are very much like Father Knows Best, mother and father, but Mr. Wilson next door and Dennis, you see it from their standpoint more so than mom and dad.
Yeah, funny you should mention Dennis the Menace. This was another factoid, but I didn't jot this one down because it, you know, just a random thing. But now that you've said that, the facade of the Anderson House depicted in the series opening credits is the same structure used as Mr. George Wilson's home in the television series Dennis the Menace. And again, in remodeled form, as the Major's residence in I Dream of Jeannie. So,
really?
Yeah.
Huh?
So that specific house made the rounds. Like, it's not a coincidence that it looks similar. It was the same one.
Suburbia, that was everybody living in their little ticky-tock boxes.
Oh, the house can also be seen in both its familiar Father Knows Best style and later renovated variations in episodes of Hazel, Bewitched, The Monkees, and The Partridge Family. That is just the house.
Wow. Yeah. That house is famous.
That is the platonic ideal of the house, the perfect family house. So yeah, it's not a coincidence that brought that to mind for you.
And they all lived in those nice houses. That was the other thing. All those shows that you mentioned, yeah, everybody lived in like a perfect house. Nobody lived in Slumsville or like, okay, even going way back, the Jackie Gleason show, where they're in a little apartment, like two rooms, one room. Actually, they used one room and they used the room of the neighbors upstairs. And that's pretty much it. And even in I Love Lucy, they had an apartment too, but these houses are something else. Wow, what houses. And how much of America, looking at that, would have lived in that type of situation? Maybe some people, but there'd be a lot of people watching that who, that wouldn't have been their lifestyle at all.
Because, yeah, it's like, you can talk around it a lot. You can talk about the era a lot. But as for the actual show, if you just had to dissect that, it's just fluff. It's nothing.
Yeah, and it's pretty saccharine.
Yeah, how do we end that? Jeez.
There's nothing more to say.
Yeah, I guess the fact that there's only one episode on YouTube and it's hard to find the other episodes, that's fine. Just watch one.
It's understandable.
Yeah. Just watch one, remember the era, remember the time. Yeah, you don't need to dive deep into that one, I don't think. And yeah, Robert Young, I don't know. I guess he did. And yeah, I understand why he wanted to stop. You know, even if it was still popular, it's like, we just don't need to do this anymore. You know?
I don't know how the man could have stood, what, 8 years?
Six, yeah.
6 years?
But with the radio version, yeah, probably like a decade.
6 or 8 years or longer playing that character, like... Where does a character like that go? How does he grow? He doesn't. He just stays there, and he's so understanding and just so wise and knows and best.
Lucky for him that he has such even-keeled, well-tempered kids, because they would eat him alive if they were actual difficult kids, because he's got nothing. He has no parenting skills. He didn't even really appear to have any particular knowledge that anyone else wouldn't have had. You know? Anyway, maybe he didn't know best right away. He definitely didn't know best. Again, he's sneaking around to go to the house of his his teen son's dance date to metal.
No, he did know best. He didn't quite know how to resolve the situation until he had a chance to investigate it. But he knew best. He knew how to lead that young woman and that young man to their first dance so that they'd feel really good about themselves. He's wonderful.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, that's a...